Before the advent of Google, right, you wanted to buy a hammer. So you didn't know where to buy a hammer. You'd find someone who knew a bit more about that. And you can, for me, I'd ask my brother. Anyway, I'd say, oh, go to Chloe's Hammer Emporium. She got loads of hammers. Great. So I got a recommendation where to go, where I'm likely to find the hammer that I need. And so our game within SEO is to make a case to those kind of quite stupid robots, really, that we are the best place to go to buy whatever it is we're selling.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, every five episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method that's important in the world of e-commerce. It could be email or SEO or Facebook ads, and we pick up the thread from the last time we covered it. And in each of those episodes, we release a new one every single Wednesday. I get to interview a different expert to explore another way of making that marketing method work for you. Before we get into today's episode, I have to tell you all something which can make us all feel a little smug. Me, for being the host of this show, you for listening to this show, and my team for producing this show. Keep Optimizing has just been named number 5 on Million Podcasts list of the top 100 e-commerce marketing podcasts. Yes, we are number 5. How cool is that? Huge thank you to all our guests from the last 5 years now for sharing their expertise with me and with all of you. And please do feel smug that you right now have chosen to listen to the top 5 marketing podcast in the world. Okay, this episode, what are we talking about? We are continuing to be worthy of our 5th place position and rounding up our SEO mini masterclass by getting back to the basics of SEO. We've got an e-commerce wizard back on the show to help you all. I know his deep dive into GA4 back in episode 111 helped a lot of you, and he's now back to share his wisdom on SEO. He's going to be sharing how he thinks AI is changing the SEO space. Or not, we'll find out. He is also going to be sharing what the fundamentals of SEO are that you should be focused on right now, and posing 3 questions that you need to ask of your content and of your strategy to make sure you're on track. They're 3 super straightforward questions that will really just help you filter a lot of the noise at the moment and help you really make sure you're focusing on the right things. We'll also be getting into should you be doing blog content or not? What should you be doing with your product pages? We will be sharing quite a lot of practical stuff and are getting a little bit into the whole should you be deleting content right now debate, which I know a lot of you are mulling over. So loads of good stuff. Really great to get to catch up with Dan again. And make sure you listen to the end of the episode because his insider tips are super good. And I'll also be revealing what we're going to be starting our next mini masterclass on. Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business, one that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo, that's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my 4-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 KATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In this episode, I'm chatting with SEO expert Dan Coleman. Dan is an e-commerce wizard. He's accredited by both the Chartered Institute of Marketing and the Institute of Data and Marketing. And via his consultancy, Coleman Marketing, he's worked with many household names and startups over the last 20 years, including Phase 8, Virgin, Hotel Chocolat, and Kath Kidston. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Chloe.
Really cool to have you back on the show. Last time you were on talking about Google Analytics, this time you're talking about another one of your e-commerce passions, SEO. So how did you end up getting into SEO?
Good question. I think it goes right back to my early journey in e-commerce. It's probably actually a very similar story to what I told last time about analytics. So I got my start in the wonderful world of Formula One and built my first e-commerce website way back before we really had a kind of a common vocabulary for had really kind of sort of commoditized the digital marketing space, I suppose. What happened was you put a website out, you're trying to sell your caps and your t-shirts to the Formula One fans. And of course, you've got people who are living and breathing data because they're trying to optimize on-track performance and things like that, asking you, right, how do we get more traffic? How do we get more people to the site? How do we sell more caps and t-shirts? And where is our traffic coming from? And how can we optimize towards that and things like that? So right from the beginning, it was a case of understanding the value of search engines in that whole mix, and then seeing what we could do to try and kind of game it in our favor a little bit. And obviously, over the 2+ decades that I've been doing this, things have kind of moved on, got a bit more sophisticated. Techniques we used to use back then didn't work so much, but it's been a kind of ever-present part of my e-commerce world, regardless of roles that I've been doing. Sometimes I lean more tech, sometimes more marketing. Have actually had a stint as an operations director for a search agency as well in the past. So it's, I think I've got a good history and some fair credentials in this space, you know?
Just a little bit, yeah. Just a little bit. And it is frequently, I find, the case that SEO specialists are often also specialists in conversion rate optimization or attribution. You know, that data-y part is so always seems to play very well with SEO, which I suspect for someone who's not hugely familiar with SEO, maybe like, surely it's all words.
I suppose the data-minded bit comes into how I find the right opportunities. And so obviously I'll be obsessing about what's currently happening, how we're currently understood as a website, and how can we kind of refine that a little bit. So yeah, data and SEO, they're always really tightly linked.
Okay, so you sent me in when I was looking for guests for this and pitching for guests on and asking people to pitch to be guests on LinkedIn. You put in a brilliant pitch about how SEO is all about, at the moment, success is all about going back to basics, but not the basics you think, which I think for starters was a great title. I'm not going to read out the rest of your pitch because we're going to talk about that, but going back to basics in SEO, has AI change those fundamentals? Are the fundamentals the same, or with the advent of AI and all that stuff that's going on, has it changed the game a lot?
From the point of view of fundamentals, I would say no. And that might kind of surprise some of the listeners, but everything that you read in and around kind of the SEO world and people sort of who write a lot more about SEO on LinkedIn and blogs and newsletters and things like that, they are talking about it in terms of it being something that is really, really shaking up the market. Now it is, but it's really shaking up our access to the market as opposed to the fundamentals, which are how we are getting the machines to make us visible to our customers. And so techniques might have changed. The fundamental understanding of why you're applying those techniques has not.
Cool. So what are those fundamentals? What are the key things we need to be caring about when we're plotting our SEO activity?
So I'm going to I'll take this all the way back to pre-internet days to kind of illustrate the point, right? So maybe not everyone listening to this can remember that far back, but you know, I have a big old grey beard. I can remember those days. So if you think about before the advent of Google, right? Imagine that you wanted to buy a hammer. And so you didn't know where to buy a hammer. You'd find someone who knew a bit more about that. And you'd go, for me, I'd ask my brother, where can I buy a hammer? And you might say, oh, go to Chloe's Hammer Emporium. She's got loads of hammers. Great. So I've got a recommendation where to go, where I'm likely to find the hammer that I need. Now, assuming that there are more places than just Chloe's Hammer Emporium that I can buy a hammer, then what you got to try and understand is, well, why has he recommended that particular venue rather than, or that particular retailer, rather than, you know, Dan's World of Hammers? So really what we're trying to do, if you think about the job of search engines, they've just kind of modernized that type of exchange. We're giving you a different way to solve that problem. So rather than me going now to my brother and saying, hey, where do I buy a hammer? You go online, you search for where to buy a hammer. Google comes back with a bunch of different recommendations, but they're going to be kind of ranked based on its own kind of preferences and things like that. And yeah, I say Google, could be Google, Bing, it could be ChatGPT, it could be any of the kind of the AI agents as well. They all kind of are trying to serve the same purpose, which is to recommend something that is going to satisfy the end user. And so our game within SEO, and you know, I still refer to it as SEO, whether we're talking about targeting ChatGPT and all of these kind of other like Copilot and the other kind of AI agents, or traditional search engines like Google and Bing. Like people are trying to come up with new terms. Let's just simplify it. So it's all SEO. What we are trying to do is to make a case to those kind of quite stupid robots, really, that we are the best place to go to buy whatever it is we're selling. And so as a kind of a fundamental sort of what is the job of someone doing SEO in e-commerce, that is it. It's to convince the machines to recommend us over someone else.
I'm nodding because that is such a straightforward way of understanding it. And I think we can really get ourselves in a muddle by trying to think of each of these engines as being different things. Yes, there's nuances and places you might put information and different boxes you need to tick, but the fundamental bit is they are trying to serve the best possible result to the individual who's searching. And we want to help them see us as the most important result. It seems so simple, which it is.
Yeah.
It's just we like to overcomplicate it. So how do we keep it simple? How do we keep our focus in place?
The trick I like to use is, so I've got three questions, really, that I put myself in the position of a search engine. What we are guilty of in thinking about SEO is we think about it as this really complex thing, and we think about it as, you know, we've got to get all of these little technical hacks and we've got to produce our content in exactly the right way. And maybe if we do this, we'll get into the search results for this type of topic and stuff like that. All of that stuff is important. There is a lot of work to do, but what we sometimes lose sight of is really why are we doing it? So if we flip the script a little bit and think about it from the point of view of, let's say I am now Google and I am trying to present the right kind of recommendations back to someone who is asking where to buy a hammer, what is it I really need to know about your site, the other sites that are selling these products, right? First thing is, can I actually crawl it? You know, as a search engine, can I crawl that site? So that's like the technical SEO piece, right? Largely, it's out of scope of kind of what I want to talk about here. That's probably goes beyond the fundamentals, but it is an important piece of it. You've got to make sure that the search engines and the bots can actually access your site, can index it, all of that kind of good stuff. The next one is, do I understand it? Right? So I've read the site. Do I know what it's about? And you've got to remember again that you are looking at this from the point of view of a very, very literal, quite stupid robot. So it won't be making the same types of kind of nuanced decisions about what the human that wrote this or built this site really means. You have to really kind of smack it in the face with, we are selling hammers. Come here to buy hammers. You know, it really is as straightforward as that.
It reminds me that one of a site, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I used to do some work with that sold maternity wear.
Is it?
But because the site only sold maternity wear, the word maternity was pretty much completely missing from the whole website. So you're like, well, we say, you know, on the homepage that we're a maternity wear brand. Why do we need to put that these are maternity jeans on every page? It's like, because the search engine does not work that out.
Yeah.
I mean, they're slightly better at it now, but they basically don't work that out. You have to, like you say, you've got to think of it as a literal, quite stupid robot. I love that.
Yes. And that extends to your navigation. It's your product data, all of this kind of stuff. Funnily enough, I've also worked with maternity brands in the past. And more broadly, the fashion space is the biggest nightmare for this because they don't like to have sort of literal names for their products. And that's really, really important. And even the navigation, you know, if you're a fashion brand, you want your top level navigation to say what it is you're selling. It's jeans, it's t-shirts, it's dresses, you know, that kind of thing. It's not whatever fluffy name you've given to your current autumn, winter or spring, summer collection, right? You probably want to start with what it is you're actually selling if SEO is important to you. Just to continue kind of with fashion. So a great example is, and something that you can actually do, and anyone listening to this, I'd encourage them to do this. Look at the terminology you're using for the products you're selling. And just put that into the search engines and see what comes back. Now, a common example that I see in fashion is they'll use the word T-E-E, rather than T-shirt. You go onto Google and you search for T, what are you going to get? You're going to get organizations with the acronym T-E-E. You're going to get golf tees, and you might get a few T-shirts kind of lower down the rankings. Because if you search for T-shirts, what are you going to get? Loads of sites selling t-shirts. So that's where you want to be because that is the type of site that Google is understanding as someone who is selling the thing that your customers are looking for. Whereas it's just kind of taking pot luck if you're kind of in and amongst a term that could relate to one of five different things.
Okay, so we had number one, can we crawl it? Number two, do I understand it? What's your third key question?
Is it any good? And this one, it sounds like it would be kind of quite a subjective thing. And if you ask anyone who owns an e-commerce brand, and, you know, they're obviously, it's their passion, right? They go, of course, it's good, you know, but there is an objective way to understand whether it's any good. And so from the point of view of, these daft robots, going back to the hammer example, if I have a fashion brand that just happens to have a hammer for sale for some reason, or I'm a hardware store that has a category with 100 different hammers in it, and someone asks where to buy a hammer, it's obviously going to show the one that has the widest range organized in the most sensible way. So kind of like with a nice hierarchical structure, good layered navigation that makes sense, perhaps some subcategories for different types of hammer and all that kind of stuff. It's obviously going to show you that rather than this weird hammer that just happens to be sold by a company that makes gins, right? It's a no-brainer if you think about it. And so what you have to do is look at your product range, look at how it's structured and think, do I really have the right to expect Google, Bing, ChatGPT, Copilot, whatever, to show my site above the sites that it's already showing for these kind of product type searches? In many cases, you have to kind of look at that and go, well, no. So then you ask yourself, what do I have the right to be visible for? And let's kind of work towards that.
It's kind of like when we're doing keyword research and trying to find new growing trending terms. You can find something that you're like, oh, that's really cool, that's really growing. And they're like, hold on a second. We only have one page about that.
Yes.
We clearly do not deserve to be on page two, let alone at the top of page one. But this other term that's got half the volume, we've got 20 pages on that and 40 products. It's those kind of decisions, isn't it? As well as working what you're going to target, but also, are we good enough, I suppose?
Yes. And just to kind of, let's pull that thread a little bit, because there is something else that's really important around, it kind of covers the a little bit of is it any good and a little bit of do I understand it. Now, over the past couple of years, I've met with a whole host of retailers who've all got the same fundamental problem. And these are sites that have been online for quite a while, and they've previously been performing quite well in organic. And over probably the last 18 months, 2 years, they've started to see it drop off. And you look at what they've done that has previously worked really well. Some of this old school SEO techniques, where it's almost like all traffic is considered equal. So let's just produce content. And if it's content that feels like it's adjacent to our product range, then, and it's ranking well and getting traffic, then great. What I've noticed is that it seems like the type of site at a domain level is gaining more and more importance in what types of things you're visible for. So, for example, if you have a fashion brand and you've invested loads in a kind of a lifestyle blog, if your lifestyle blog articles are starting to rank more effectively and gaining more traffic than your e-commerce pages, chances are Google's making a decision that, well, this is where we send people to be informed and entertained, not where we send people to buy stuff. So what I found myself doing quite a lot when I speak to retailers who have that challenge is actually getting them to narrow the focus of their blog and actually take some of their highest ranking pages, cull them, get rid, because it then reinforces back in the minds, like the electronic minds of the search engines, that, oh, this is a site that's designed to sell stuff. It's not actually a site that's designed to, tell us the top 50 guitar solos or give us recipes on for sourdough or whatever it might be, you know.
That's something I've been hearing more and more, is that this whole, what is your actual whole website? Does our website deserve to rank for this? Not just does this part of our content deserve to rank for this? And it's, you know, there was that kind of big push about lifestyle content, which could have been all around styling, if we stick with fashion, styling the outfits and celebrities who are wearing the outfits and the inspiration of the outfits. So you're still kind of fashion related, but then others who've disappeared off into sourdough and avocado toast and, you know, all this kind of food and experience area, which, you know, from a brand perspective may make sense. But if you've not got that content converting people back into sales on your product pages, then it makes sense to cull it. So your example there, Dan, and you're the expert on this, hence the question, was buying content versus blogging content. And is Google thinking of you as an e-commerce site or as a blog? Does it also go for topics? So you're a fashion site, but your blog is all about food. Is that going to confuse them as well? But if you've got a fashion site and the blog is all about fashion, then you're okay.
So it's slightly more nuanced than that. So it's not just about most sort of lifestyle-y type blog content on a fashion site will have some sort of adjacent topical link to fashion, right? Or to the customer persona that is typically shopping from them. There have been some interesting things I've found where one particular fashion brand, they were kind of trying to push their sustainable credentials. So they wrote a load of blog articles about things like bees and that kind of stuff. Fine. If you think your audience is really interested in that, it's okay. But for the most part, a retailer is really producing blogs. The reason they started writing blog content was for SEO. Now, they probably lost sight of that. And so to go back to like the topic that I wanted to talk about here, going back to those fundamentals, why are you actually blogging in the first place? And if you're just producing content for the sake of content because it's what we've always done and we've been told this, you know, we've got to have our content calendar and all this kind of stuff, so that's probably not the right kind of way to approach it anymore. So what you got to look at is, what is the content that we produce that is about the direct buying journey in a really, really literal sense? So it's things like buyer's guides relating to the products we've got, maybe some deeper kind of use cases for your products that don't necessarily sit on the product page itself or would be too wordy to put in the PLP. That kind of reinforcement content that people might actually go back to in order to help them make a buying decision as opposed to just something that is designed to get that first click to your site because we've identified that people who buy our dresses are also into eco things and might like to read about how we're investing in kind of beehives or something like that, you know.
Cool. So if you're an e-commerce brand who's looking to improve, to invest in their SEO content at the moment, a more likely to work strategy would be improving your product listing pages and then creating buyer's guides that go along with them. So sticking with fashion, maybe you've got your skirts product listing page with subcategories for maxi, mini, et cetera, et cetera. And then you've got a guide that says how to work out which is the right skirt style for you this summer or something that ties in.
Yeah, exactly that kind of thing. And you just kind of touched on something there that's really important when you think about content in e-commerce. Your product data and your taxonomy is all essentially is feeding content within the e-commerce journey, right? So your catalog content is, it's weirdly, it's something that doesn't get the focus it should have. And a lot of the work that I do in e-commerce SEO is really getting under the hood of what product data we've got and is it organized in a way that really makes sense? Is our kind of data hygiene good enough? Can we get better processes in to make sure that it is managed and consistently reviewed? Oh, that's boring stuff. And for a marketer, probably not as interesting as thinking about what our marketing calendar looks like and what are the great campaign ideas that I can do. But in pure e-commerce terms, it will probably pay off as much, if not more, than doing your bigger marketing campaigns.
It does feel like we're switching to a space where, in order to stay on the right side of your three questions, we're flipping from spending 80% of our content creation on blogs and lifestyle content and 20% on PLPs and product pages and so forth to the exact opposite, 80% on product pages, on product listing pages and all that good taxonomy category content stuff. And then 20% on blogs where they really, really, blogs or lifestyle guides or buying guides that really, really fit with something where we can make sure that the search engine understands it and where we know the content's going to be really good and deserve to be a page one content.
Absolutely. The first question you asked me when we started talking was, has it changed the fundamentals? This is something that your product data is probably going to be the most important thing, at least in the near future, the most important thing for your AI visibility within a kind of a transactional context. Because if you think about when you're asking Copilot, ChatGPT, Gemini, whatever it is, you're asking it questions about you're researching products, it will be pulling in articles and pages from all over the web and presenting them to you in a single kind of semi-coherent narrative. And what you probably want in there is there might be a competitor that is using their copy to talk about the more broad topic, but it doesn't follow that they will then show that competitor's products alongside it. They may well just pull in products from your site because they've got a better understanding of the data behind your product and exactly what your product actually is. So again, it's that kind of, are we populating our data and presenting it in a way that is understood for some quite literal broad terms?
It is interesting how actually what's kind of filtering out as the actual impact of AI on search engine optimization in the widest sense of the phrase, as you were talking about it, as you defined it for us earlier, is it's actually making us do what we should have been doing all along, which is care about the product data first and foremost, then the product listing pages, and then the superfluous, terrible yes. word, but I'm running with it, superfluous content beyond that.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. Yeah, I think we are seeing and we'll continue to see a big shift towards people using the various kind of AI agents, if you like. So, you know, your ChatGPTs and Copilots and stuff like that. Almost more than they're using search engines. I mean, I know personally, I will always go to either ChatGPT or Copilot when I'm trying to search for something that I would previously have gone to Google for. just because it's that much easier to have that almost kind of drill down into to finding what you want quickly, as opposed to scanning through a whole sort of list of links. Now, the two things are kind of, they're supporting each other and balanced at the moment, but it's quite easy to see, to picture a future where we've kind of lost sight, or we've forgotten what Google used to look like. And we've forgotten that search engines were just this list of links. And now search engines have become this conversational thing. I don't think that it's going to change how we get visibility in there so much. Why did you remember the fundamentals, right? But how we interact with the data that they are collecting will change radically.
We shall see if you're right, Dan. I suspect you will be. It's been great picking your brains about getting back to basics with SEO. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Dan's insider tips on SEO and my suggestions for other ways we can help you improve things even further in your businesses. Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business, one that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo, that's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my 4-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo. Have you yet downloaded the 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook. Okay, Dan, so far we've gone deep into going back to the basics in SEO. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of SEO. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything at all to do with SEO, which of course does include all those things we've already been talking about. So Dan, are you ready for the insider tips?
Let's go.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
So I am a big advocate of learning by doing. There are some very, very easy ways. Assuming you've got access to an e-commerce store already, then make sure you've got access to Google Search Console, Bing Webmaster Tools, Merchant Center on both Google and Bing. All of these things will give you actually quite a lot of data as to how you are currently being perceived. And you can start to drill down into, you know, what is my site currently visible for? That will give you an insight into how it's being understood. And then you can start to think about, well, are we actually really being seen as a news site or a lifestyle magazine? Or are we actually being seen as a place to go and shop for our product category? And then you can start to think about what is the action that we need to be taking. Bing in particular has some very SEO friendly kind of documentation, which helps you to kind of work through and sort of learn how to optimize your site in those kind of technical fundamentals as well. So I definitely recommend reading that and Google's webmaster guides as well.
Very cool. Okay. Once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
My favorite way. So this is what I kind of coach all of my clients to consider. And it is to take a step back and think about the three questions that we've been talking about, right? Look at the website and think, can I crawl it? Do I understand it? Is it any good? Now, you do need to kind of switch off your passion for your own brand a little bit and just look at it sort of fairly cold. But take those, then think about what you are doing. It doesn't matter what sort of brand size you are and how your SEO is currently being managed. Just think about the types of activities that are occurring. Can I honestly link each of them back to one of those three fundamental questions? And If not, or if there's a grey area, is there a way I can sort of adjust course and get back to these basics?
Nice. Love that. Okay. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
I think it's actually criminal how few people in the SEO space, let alone broader e-commerce space, have actually bothered to get into Bing and Google's documentation about best practice for SEO. It's right there. And, you know, if you haven't read it or you haven't read it for a while, go back, take a look, scan through this stuff. It's a goldmine.
And a perfect answer, given we're talking about fundamentals. So how much more fundamental can you get than going back to the horse's mouth?
Exactly.
Love that. Okay. Finally, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
It is the continued march of AI, right? I don't think we quite know where it's going to end, but we're seeing all the time that we're getting things like AI overviews with a recent thing in Google. We're seeing more and more people use ChatGPT as a search engine. All of these kind of things are going to fundamentally change how our consumers are accessing the data that we're producing, right? There will be the ability to purchase product direct from ChatGPT, for example, all of these kind of things. But these are just interface changes, really. They're interface changes, and they might change the language that we use to interact with the kind of the data sets that are answering the questions. But fundamentally, getting ourselves into the data set is still going to be the game, I think.
I think you're right, and I hope you're right. Dan, we're very nearly at the end of the show, so could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business if they want to get in touch?
Yes. So I figured, as we're talking about SEO, best way to find me is get onto your favorite search engine or your favorite AI helper and just look for Coleman the Wizard. And I guarantee that I will be there.
I love that, Coleman the Wizard, everybody. Yep. That is your keyword. Pick your search engine. And if you can't find it, because Dan reckons you will, if you can't, let him know so he can go and
I don't deserve to be found if you can't.
Love that. Brilliant. Well, look, Dan, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's been great catching up with you and chatting SEO. So thanks so much for being here.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Great insights there from Dan. And I guess hold those three questions. A, you should be using them all the time with your SEO and your content decisions. Can the search engine crawl it? Does the search engine understand it, remembering that it is a literal, quite stupid robot, to quote Dan there? And is the content any good? Do you deserve to rank for that content? Do you deserve to be recommended by ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever? Three things to keep you focused on what you're doing. But also, inevitably over the next 12 months, we're all going to have moments of, oh my God, I have no idea what I should be doing anymore in SEO. So come back to those three questions to keep you back on track, to help you filter out the noise and the distractions from what you should actually be doing to grow your organic traffic. You can get the links to the things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, our notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short link. Just put keepopt.com/the number of this very episode into your URL bar and you will be redirected straight to the right episode page. When you get to the website, why not get yourself on our email list? Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. All five of our episodes revisiting the SEO thread is now live. Think of it as your Get Me Up to Date on SEO Fast Masterclass. So please do binge them all. You can either scroll up your podcast feed to find them because they're immediately before this episode, or use the short link keepopt.com/SEO to find all our SEO content on the website. Our next masterclass topic is marketplaces. Yes, we are revisiting that thread after a few years. And yes, there will be plenty of how to sell more on Amazon advice, because you can't do a marketplaces series without talking a fair bit about Amazon. You can catch what we've covered in the past about marketplaces at keepopt.com/marketplaces if you can't wait until next Wednesday when we will be starting that series. And make sure you're subscribed to us or following us on your favourite podcast player so you catch it all. And if you know someone who's particularly interested in improving their SEO or improving their marketplace sales, please do let them know that's what we're covering, because this show exists not just to help you, but to help them as well to improve their marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business. One that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo. That's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my 4-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.